Hello there, and welcome back to the Hobby Hard podcast. I'm Sam Zena, and I'm joined by my friends here.
Sam Porter.
Dylan Heimbrock.
And I know we told you last week that we were going to do LARPing, or live-action role-playing, but we have some exciting news on the LARPing front, so we decided to postpone it in lieu of birdwatching. Porter, do you want to tell us about what's happening with LARPing?
For sure, yeah. So the topic this week is birdwatching, and LARPing, okay, so a few weeks back when we said we're going to do that as a topic, I tried to figure out, doing some research into the actual hobby, and through some digging through message boards and other sources, emailing back and forth, I actually stumbled across, this guy emailed me this past week and said that there actually is a LARPing game on Sunday, Traders Crossing.
Nice. And that's the name of the event?
That's the name of the event.
Okay.
Don't know what the significance that holds within actual LARPing, but it's happening Sunday from 2 to 5, so I think we're actually going to be hitting that up.
He's expecting you to participate, so...
Yeah, the email actually was from this guy named Thax, and he
Which is a normal name.
Very normal name. I don't think it's short or stands for anything.
I've been a Thax in my life.
Really?
Yeah, I don't remember where or when, I just remember it happened.
The only
once.
Thax I know is that rock and roll poet guy. You know that guy?
Oh yeah, maybe that's
the guy. He does the... Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, what's the guy's name on Punk'd, though? Remember the guy on...
Dax. Okay.
See, that's as normal of a name as
Dax. Yeah, that's a good point. You know?
True.
Good point. So Thax said that...
He's also terrible.
Oh, yeah, so Thax said... He sent me the Facebook event, Traders Crossing, and it's from 2 to 5 on Sunday up in Round Rock. And
nice.
So I think we're going to go hit that up. So it kind of pushed us back a week on LARPing, but we should be coming in with some fresh experience, more knowledge.
Yeah, so none of us have any experience with LARPing. Like, unlike any of the other topics we've done so far, like, you know, we knew a little bit about each of those, but this one we just know nothing about, and we're just going to go in head first, not knowing what to expect. I guess we're going to have to, like, buy costumes or... figure something
I'm
out.
I'm going to let you guys do that.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to be, like, participating. I think that's still
TBD.
Well,
dude, they're expecting you to participate.
I mean...
They don't know who I am. I've told you this.
I'm going to send them... I'm going to figure out his email. I'm going to send them your Facebook photo. Maybe I'll just go and pretend to be you.
Well, if you pretend to be him, then you will have to participate.
Yeah, then you'll have to participate.
Oh, I'll totally do it, dude. I'll just be a black mage. That's a thing.
What's a mage?
It's a guy with an axe, I think. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm going to go cast some spells.
Man, I'm learning stuff already.
All right, so under bird watching, let's get
into
this. All
right, so yeah. So
LARPing's next week.
Instead of LARPing, we decided to do bird watching, which I've been looking forward to because my dad is a very big bird watcher, and so is his brother and his father. All my life, my dad has tried to get me into bird watching. It never quite stuck, but for some reason, I still retain all of this bird knowledge. So I barely had to do any research for this week because I think I know, like, way more bird things than your average person. And I'm not even a participant in this hobby.
So birdwatching has been passed down from generation to generation within the Sam Zena clan. It just didn't take with all Sam Zena.
Exactly.
It was
passed down from my grandfather to his sons, my dad and his brother, but... my dad wasn't quite able to pass it down to me and my brother.
How is bird watching a hobby that gets passed down?
To what extent are they in bird watching?
Because
me is a complete outsider.
All right. Yeah, let me give you a rundown. So, like, they all have, like, really, really good pair of binoculars.
Okay.
Or multiple pairs of binoculars.
Okay.
Long
range, short range.
You know,
zoom
got,
lenses?
Exactly. They got the small ones, you know, just for, like, on the go. They got the big ones for, you know, a big...
He did a little jig right there when he said on the go. He jigged back and forth.
They got the big binoculars for, if you're going to be there a while, if you're really sitting it out.
Okay.
You know, trying to do a big day, as they say.
Do they have a makeshift, like, perches that they put up in trees?
No,
that...
Did you read about birdwatchers doing that? I think that's a hunting thing, really.
I mean, it's more of a hunting thing, but
stands?
Like stands, but I also did read about birdwatchers hanging out in stands and stuff.
Okay, yeah, I'm not surprised.
Birds for a really long
time.
It's
pretty much the same idea, except without the killing.
Yeah, and without, like, looking for cooler animals than birds.
Well, okay, I kind of think birds are cool, but I can't help it. So anyway, yeah, they have, like, really nice binoculars. They carry around... So, and my dad always carries a pair of binoculars with him, like... Maybe not on his person, but, like, at least he has a pair in the car.
Okay.
Because, like, at any...
He's more of the on-the-go.
Yeah, okay. the little pair. Exactly.
He never knows when he's going to be able to check off a rare one from his list.
Well, seriously, like,
How big is his list?
Well, he's he's been able to chip away at it little by little.
How big?
And then
has,
to set it up for listeners.
Bird watchers have what they call life lists, and it's a list of birds that they think are the coolest birds, and usually are birds that are a bit rarer, harder to find in the wild. And so, you know, the life list is this list of birds that they want to see before they die.
Okay.
And so they cross these one by one. And I actually don't know specifically the birds on my dad's life list, but he's definitely told it to me like a bunch of times, and I just didn't really.
Is the golden-winged warbler on that list?
Maybe, because that one's a pretty sought-after. Did you read the story about the England thing?
I did.
2,500 people showed up to see this one individual bird. Like, not just one species.
Bell
like,
the
I think that was
huh?
just one spotting of one. One little bird.
It wasn't even a big-titted warbler. It was a golden, what is it?
A golden-winged warbler.
Yeah, big-titted warbler. That's a bird.
I know it is.
It's a wonderful bird.
It's just funny.
That's hilarious.
What if that bird just flies away, though?
It absolutely does.
I mean, so...
Well, if it flies away, then what happens, Dylan?
They check off on the list? Oh, no, they don't. If it flies away, what happens?
Oh, then if they don't get to see it, what is it called?
They get gripped off? Is that it?
I think so. Yeah, I don't really know the bird. So, bird watching, like a lot of these hobbies that we talk about, they're kind of their own subculture, and they have their own lingo. And so, bird watching, if there was a bird sighting and you barely missed it, then you gripped off? No, you feel gripped off.
You feel gripped off. Okay. So, there's all these ridiculous terms. The main one is twitcher. A twitcher is someone who travels long distances to see a rare bird. And then they tick it or check it off of their bucket list, basically.
The reason it says tick is probably because twitcher is actually more of a UK Australian term.
Right.
Whereas you would usually just say bird watcher or birder.
Birder, yeah.
Which, also I read Shakespeare was the first person to coin the word birder.
Oh, I actually read that.
Yeah. Interesting.
That was pretty cool.
They were also talking about going and shooting birds when he coined it.
Oh.
There was people going and murdering them.
Well, that's a little different. Birders do not do that now.
No, birders just try to hear them or see them. It's a big auditory component to bird watching.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so yeah, not only is it important to be able to identify them by sight, by the color of their feathers and the markings on their body, it's also a big thing among bird watchers to be able to hear them. So I guess it makes it easier to find them if you know their calls. Mm-hmm. And there's also like little, I forgot about this too, there's little bird call makers, which they use those for hunting too.
Right, right.
My dad has a few little bird calls.
Oh, dude, I know all about those.
Yeah.
When I was in high school, some buddies of mine, the year after we graduated high school, we thought it'd be fun to get a bunch of them and go hide in the woods and ruin the high school graduation by blowing them throughout the entirety of the graduation.
Were they loud?
They were relatively loud, but the best part about it was that the audio from the microphone, for some reason, captured the bird calls really well. So anytime the principal or anybody was speaking, they had a really loud bird noise going over everything that they said. And in the middle of the graduation, the principal had the police, Washington, Connecticut police chase us throughout the woods. So we basically ran around the woods blowing these things as police officers.
Did they catch you?
No, they never caught us.
Nice.
But yeah, we
nice. This
we
is when you were still in high school?
No, this was the year after I graduated. So,
so you were just kind of a loser.
So you went back to prank the high school.
Oh, yeah, my friend showed up really drunk thinking it was a great idea.
Oh, Gus in the house.
Hey, it's my roommate Stuart. Hey, Stuart.
Oh.
We're just talking about bird watching.
Oh, you're recording the podcast.
Yeah.
Sure are.
I'll get out of here.
Well, I appreciate that.
What you got in your hands?
I got some new software information.
Well, anyway, we need to get back.
I'll see you all guys later.
All right.
Tell everyone I said hello.
Stuart says hello, everyone.
Hello.
And so all my life, my dad has tried to get me into bird watching. He's taken me on bird watching trips.
Okay.
Which, as you can imagine, consists of sitting in the woods. That's it.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if your dad is one of those, because, I did see that they have different qualifications of bird watchers. Like, my parents, for instance, they had, a bird bath and, a
bird
feeder
feeders,
and
yeah.
hummingbird feeder.
Mm-hmm.
So they, watch birds and stuff. They don't do it, really...
Right, that's more for the casual bird watcher.
Okay.
My dad...
So your dad's, he
My dad's a few
trips.
Steps above that. Yeah, okay.
Oh, his dad's a total twitcher.
He's definitely a twitcher. He avidly seeks them out. He even...
What's the biggest trip?
I'll tell you, he and his brother and their father took a trip to the Galapagos Islands off the coast of Ecuador, and they were able to cross off a bunch of birds on their life list, like, because they have, like, crazy birds on the, just that only live on those islands, like blue-footed boobies. You heard of those?
No.
Oh, sure, have. Those are pretty badass.
Find, yeah, and different stuff like that. And, I mean, all kind of wildlife, not just birds. Awesome. But, yeah, like, they...
Like turtles?
Galapagos turtles. They're their own species of turtles.
I don't know what else is always on that island.
I don't really either.
Sounds like a pretty
There's probably penguins. I bet there's some penguins on that island.
No, not that far north. There are penguins, like, off of South America, further south.
But yeah.
Closer to Antarctica.
Right.
Antarctica.
Well, they're on the beach in old Argentina.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Penguins are?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did not know that.
Yeah.
There's a whole episode about, what is it? Uruguay, when Anthony Bourdain, in No Reservations, goes to Uruguay, and he goes to some bar that a blind man built with the washed-up driftwood.
Wow.
And he found this penguin, and it was dying. It got washed up the shore in Uruguay, and he took it in and nursed it back to health, and all those bar patrons, every time it was too hot, they would bring it down to the ocean, and it would swim around, and they'd come back, and they'd carry it back up. And I want to go to this place more than anything.
That's awesome.
Yep, that's pretty badass, but there's a bird you got to check off your list one day. Penguin.
I would really like to see a penguin. Yeah, that brings me to something I'd like to ask y'all. What is your favorite bird? Because I know you have one.
Oh, wow.
This is a hen, probably.
A hen?
Yeah. What about a turkey?
You think you'll ever see a hen in real life?
I don't know. I'm hoping. It's still on my list. My life list.
So what about a hummingbird?
I've seen a hummingbird.
Oh, but not a hen.
Not a hen, though?
No, haven't seen that many hens.
It's like a chicken.
Oh, the hens?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you've probably seen it.
Yeah.
Well, I'd really like to
I don't know. My favorite bird of all, I would probably say, oh, man. I don't know. I haven't seen that many. I just don't really pay attention to that many birds, I guess. It seems like in Austin, I just hear a lot of grackles here, and those birds suck.
Those are ugly birds.
Those are the worst. Yeah, every time I see one, I just want to punch it.
You know what?
Cardinals are really pretty, and Blue like Jays.
But you've
are
probably
really...
seen both of those. Right?
Oh, I've seen both of them. Yeah.
I mean, I asked you your favorite. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Is an ostrich a bird?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because that'd be pretty cool to just
see in the wild.
A wild ostrich.
I'd really like to see a king penguin in the wild. I think those are really cool.
Oh, nice.
But it would be really difficult to see one in the wild because they only live in Antarctica.
Son of a bitch! You just stole my answer.
Is that yours too?
Look at this.
I've always liked penguins. I've always liked owls. I guess I've always been a bit of a bird person.
I've seen owls in person.
I've seen owls.
All right, obviously, I haven't seen it. I've only seen penguins in like aquariums and zoos.
Right, I've seen them.
Sadly,
it's rare sometimes that they have that exhibit open. Have you ever been to like the zoos and stuff when they're just
have to keep them cold or something?
Yeah, I've had so many times when I've gone to aquariums and I've been like.
Mm.
I've just been like, I want to only see the only reason I'm here is to go see the penguins. And guess what? No penguins. You know what? Go fuck yourselves, dude. Give me my money back. I don't care about any of that.
That's all anyone really wants to see.
Or polar bears. If they got polar bears, then they've made up for it.
Or polar bears hanging out with penguins.
Wow.
That would be pretty cool.
In perfect harmony.
Sea lions are kind of sweet
just
when you go to aquariums.
Seals?
Just drinking Coca-Colas?
Yeah, no. Oh, no, yeah, that's usually the December thing.
Okay, yeah.
Have they tried to do that at zoos? Just give polar bears
Coca-Colas?
I
don't think they have to. I think the polar bears actually
bring it in.
Yeah,
they provide their own.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that, they just come with Coca-Colas.
Yeah,
just the way they
and sunglasses sometimes too.
Yeah,
wear the sunglasses.
That's just how they naturally behave.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's right. It's true.
They harvest it in the man-made ice.
So one of the originators of bird watching is John James Audubon. Have you heard of this guy?
No. Oh, is he familiar? Is he famous for the Audubon?
Like the road?
Yeah.
No, different.
Oh, different guy.
Like
okay.
The German highway?
Ooh. Yeah.
This happens a lot to us birders. People get this confused. No, John.
He's just admitting he's a birder.
Yeah, I think you know which way I'm going to vote.
Where's the. Where are your binoculars, Sam?
I actually don't have a pair. I'm hoping to get some for Christmas.
Has your old man not passed you down a pair yet?
You know, I think
these were my first binoculars.
He's probably tried, and I just said no, thank you.
Well, you know, sir,
Wait, so what's the trip he took you on? I think you said he took you on a trip, and you were just sitting. But where was the trip?
Okay, so it was in. If you're familiar with the Alabama Gulf Coast area, which I'm sure all of you are,
super familiar.
I'm from Gulf Shores, which is a town in that area, and then part of that town is this sort of smaller town called Fort Morgan. There's like a famous, I think, Civil War fort there.
Yeah, I think Civil War.
And anyway, but now that area is like
is that World War II?
A lot of almost sure. Anyway, now a lot of the area is nature preserve, and so a lot of it's like bird sanctuary. And so we used to go there, and in that area, they do this thing called bird banding. Did y'all read about that at all?
Nope.
Bird banding is actually really cool. The more I like think about this and like to talk about it, I'm actually like really into bird watching, I'm realizing. But when I was in elementary school, my dad was the principal. And he was so into birding that he created this field trip for the school to take to go bird banding. And so our area was lucky enough to have a bird banding station. And so that's one of these places where they like gently capture birds, and they wrap these little almost weightless metal bands around their ankle.
Okay.
With like a serial number on it.
It's like tagging them.
Exactly. Yeah. And so like there's different stations all across the world, like along these migratory patterns. And so they like track where these birds are going and try to learn more about migratory patterns of birds. And it's also really cool for tourists to come to, just because they usually catch like some really cool looking birds. Like, have you ever seen like a painted bunting?
Can't say that I have.
Well, anyway,
maybe, I don't know.
It's really cool. It's like all, it's like the colors of the rainbow. Like, it's really pretty.
Ooh,
it's like
okay.
Red, like orange, yellow,
rainbow bird.
Like more colors than a peacock. It's got all of them.
All the colors in the rainbow.
Fair enough.
It's got all the colors in the rainbow. Anyway, but so
now I'm just imagining Sam. I saw this documentary once called The Parrots of.
My dad loves
Hill
that movie.
Or whatever. Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it. Yeah, Parrots of Telegraph Hill.
That's it. Parrots of Telegraph Hill. Have you seen this?
It's on Netflix.
No, I haven't seen it.
This would be right up your alley, Porter. I watched this with old Brian Oliver one day. So anyway, this documentary is about this guy who just decides to squat in a house in San Francisco.
Oh, I like that.
And for some reason, all of these parrots, they just were living in the area, and he started taking care of all the parrots. So this guy was homeless, squatting in the house, and he spent all of his time taking care of these parrots. And people would come up, like visiting the city, they would come up and they would come and see the parrots. And at one point, one of the tourists comes up to the guy, and they ask him, "So are these birds wild?" And he goes, "Oh yeah, they're wild." And he goes, "Well, do you feed them?" And he goes, "Yeah, I feed them." He's like, "Well, do you house them?" And I do. He's like, "They're not wild then." He's like, "No, they're wild." They go into a 5-minute argument about this with this fucking homeless guy. It's hilarious.
Parrots are not.
What's
indigenous.
The movie about? Just him taking
it's
in.
He's this homeless guy that takes care of these parrots, and all the people in the neighborhood, they just kind of like give him free food and stuff because he's taking care of the parrots. And then at the end of the movie, he gets evicted from the house he's squatting in.
Really?
Like somebody actually finally
kicks him out. Why would
you ruin it? And, well, this is the kicker.
I'm not watching it.
This is the kicker.
You give me the kicker, too? First you ruin it, and now you're giving me the kicker?
I'm going to give you the kicker. He got me, the homeless guy got married to the woman who made the documentary.
Oh, yeah, I knew that, too.
They fell in love in the process. The birds brought love together.
That really is a spoiler, too.
That's a huge spoiler.
Spoiler alert.
That's like the ending of the movie.
No, it shows the marriage?
No, it just writes at the end.
So that actually does bring up a point, though, or an interesting talking
bird
point.
Bird marriages.
Bird marriages. Are they legal? If they
under
are
bird
legal,
law.
Where can we go watch one?
I think.
Are they connected to LARPing events?
Can you live action role play a bird wedding?
But in reality, though, so would you call this guy a birder, or do birders take in pet birds?
Not really. Or that's not what it indicates at all.
Okay.
It's really just about seeking and watching and
checking off your list.
Yeah. And just
so this movie is
and a big part of it. A big part of bird watching.
Because he takes care of all these birds and people come and they see
it's
him.
About birds. It's
about
totally
birds.
Relevant.
Hey,
back
off. All right.
And my dad loves the movie, so it's totally relevant.
Very
obviously.
100% relevant.
No, but
100%
yeah.
Birder approved here.
But yeah, the big thing about bird watching is seeing them in the wild, you know, because you can go to any sort of.
So you become an ex-birder if you take in a pet bird?
You don't become an ex-birder. You're just not bird watching. If you're looking in your living room and you have a macaw,
right? Yeah.
Because then you can't see the dynamic at work in nature. Port, you can't see who's the dominant one and who's the submissive
right,
one.
Right. I did see when I was doing our research, my research, not our research. We all did individual research. that the Austin actually does have a club, like a birding club.
Nice.
That meets monthly.
Oh, I wish we had known that.
And they, yeah, I know. And cool. So they go out to these events and stuff. They apparently just had an event the first of the month. And they have a Facebook page and also like a Twitter page and YouTube. I just went to their Facebook, didn't go to their Twitter or YouTube, but...
Oh, I should have gone to the YouTube.
The YouTube probably would have been my first one, but it was the Facebook was the far left click, the far left thing. And just the way that
can
I like.
Can you describe the page in more detail?
Okay, sure. Yeah, it had this like nice beige background and a big picture of Toucan Sam.
On the on the website, did it talk about the birds that they've seen in town? Because the only ones that I can think of besides grackles, are roadrunners, and supposedly there've been parrots around town lately.
Parrots.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I actually work.
Well, yeah. I guess they got like somehow somebody released a bunch of parrots in Austin or something.
And oh, cool.
I think this is a while ago.
I work out in like the hills area, like you know, a little more rural, and outside my window literally is a bird sanctuary. And so, like, I see all kinds of birds all day.
No wonder Sam loves his job.
Yeah, so, like, I've gotten into birds more since I started working there.
You have a window right at your view?
Yeah, looking straight toward the bird sanctuary.
Nice. And so,
rarest bird that you see?
Rarest? I don't know exactly. I mean, I see a lot of scrub jays, which look a little like blue jays, but they don't have the tufts on their head, and they're a little grayer colored. and then I've also seen a lot of roadrunners, which are really cool birds. Like, there's not really anything else that looks like a roadrunner.
Yeah, it's true.
They're pretty neat, especially when they're running away from coyotes.
Yeah, well, like, okay. Well, they don't look like the cartoon, but they actually do run like the cartoon.
I actually saw one with you.
Yeah, well, that was the only one I'd ever seen, right. And then now I see them all the time.
Nice. Where was this? Explain this event.
Where did we see it the first time?
Like, wasn't it out in
it was in
B
the
city.
Caves?
Was it in the city or was it in B Caves? I don't even remember. It might have been in the city, actually.
I think it might have been in the city.
What time of day was it?
We were really surprised.
What were you guys wearing?
Well, it was night.
I don't remember. We don't remember those details, man.
That was a while ago.
But, yeah, now I see runners all the time. I see a lot of scrub jays. I see cardinals.
I see a lot of grackles.
Yeah, but in the city.
I hear them.
In the city, mostly grackles.
Annoying.
We got the candy. You have the candy still? I think we're out of candy.
Oh, damn it. I wish we had some more candy.
Pocket check.
Guys, in case you weren't aware, we're having candy on the podcast. Okay. So earlier I was talking about John James Audubon. So he was like an early bird watcher. You know the Audubon Zoo in New Orleans? You ever heard of that place?
Oh, yeah, totally.
It's named after him.
Okay.
So he was actually, I think, primarily an artist. But he did a lot to identify birds in North America, or probably mainly the United States. And he would draw them. And like this was before, you know, a lot of printing capabilities. And so like he was sort of the authority because he drew these birds and had very accurate drawings so people could identify these species of birds. And so he's like sort of the godfather of bird watching. And I'm sort of basing that on what I remember because I didn't actually look that up. So there's probably people before him that are actually the godfather of bird watching, but I'm going to say it's him because I remember him. And there's a lot of Audubon books that are like bird watching.
Might have been Shakespeare.
Or Shakespeare.
He did turn the crib.
Shakespeare was pretty much...
Did coin birding.
He was known to do some scribbling on paper.
Yeah, he
could do some scribbling.
I don't know how much of an artist he was, though.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I actually don't know.
So, recently...
I don't think he was much of an artist.
Recently, there was a movie in theaters called The Big Year. Did y'all hear about this movie?
I heard about it just from you guys referencing it in emails, then I looked it up, and...
Yeah.
Yeah, it looked like a star-studded cast.
It
honestly
had some big stars: Steve Martin, Owen Wilson, Jack Black.
Yeah.
It is nowhere to be found in theaters.
It made like $5. No one gave a shit about that.
They
movie
even
at
tried
all.
To like
$6 million actually, and the budget was $45 million.
Oh, gosh,
so
they even
more or less $5 in movie.
They even
terms.
Tried to make the trailer ambiguous so that you weren't sure like what if it was a birdwatching movie or not. So like the birdwatchers who read the book that it's based on, they knew. But like they tried to make it look
in a book, okay.
Yeah, but they tried to make it look like, you know, your average fun-filled romp.
I think that kind of works against it. I've worked against it though because the trailer gave it no context whatsoever. It just looked like a bunch of fun guys just getting angry and running around town with each other.
Yeah, if they had made it look like it was really true to the book, the bird watchers probably would have come out and
just been like, "Hey, we watch birds. We're proud. We're loud, and we're here to stay."
I mean, and you know what? Maybe at some point, I mean, you've already dumped $45 million into a movie of bird watching anyway. It's not exactly a mainstream idea. You might as well just try to show it and be like, and have people go, "Wow, what a wacky idea! Bird watching in a movie. Steve Martin bird watching. Might as well go see that."
And the title refers to a big year, which is like, it's like a, so there's competitions in bird watching.
Go into this,
A big day is when you have a team, and in a 24-hour period, you try to see the most birds, or more birds than anybody else.
Of different
Different species of birds. So the most species of birds.
Not just total number of
birds. No, not numbers, just number of species.
You see one, you check it
off.
So
is it just all in, like, just honest policy here?
Yeah, but there's definitely a lot of...
Because, like, how can they tell? It's just like, hey, I saw a, you know, a blank.
Well, like, Dylan
a cherry buntage or something, you know.
Bunting,
a cherry bunting.
Cherry bunting.
Is that a... I think that's a pastry, actually.
It sounds close. Like a sherry bunting? I don't know.
Is that a
person? You're the birder, Sam.
I can't remember.
But yeah, so is it just basically people saying that they saw these, knocking them off lists?
Yeah, I mean...
refs? What's the ref situation?
I think...
All the refs.
I think with the teams corroborating, they sort of...
It's
based on... Well,
yeah,
big day is teams.
Big day is teams.
Okay. Big year is individuals. And you spend the entire year... trying to see, like, huge amounts of species, and you travel around the world trying to see all these rare species.
So it's safe to say that to do this hobby, you probably have to have some dough.
If you want to participate in the big year, you probably have to take photographs of these things, too, in order to prove it you saw.
Oh, yeah, in the trailer for the movie, they all had cameras. And yeah, my dad doesn't do that. He doesn't take pictures. He just
Does he record the audio? That's another thing
do. Oh, yeah. He doesn't record the audio.
Is he one of those binocular cameras? Because those things are
pretty
cool.
No, he just has binoculars. But speaking of recordings, I remember as a kid, I found this record that belonged to my dad of bird calls. It was like a 2-vinyl disc set, 4 sides of different bird calls. And I gave it to my friend who... wanted to start DJing, and he, like, had just gotten some turntables, and so he was, like, scratching on bird calls. it was pretty legit. It
sounds ridiculous.
But, if you want to do the big year, you gotta have a lot of money.
Well, I think my favorite one is the big sit. I think that's my favorite one.
Which is a really good description of bird watching.
Yeah. Well, this is even better because the birders all sit in a huge circle. And then when a bird is spotted by one of them, the bird watchers can leave the circle just to go confirm the identity of the bird. But they can't take credit for seeing any other birds while they're going and confirming the identity of the one that they saw while they were sitting in the circle. And then after they take the photograph or whatever and confirm what it is and check it off their list, then they go back and sit back down in the circle.
I don't even understand the logic of that.
I don't know. Apparently everyone just sits in a big...
Cherry bunting must
like,
have it up.
Like, if you see a bird, like, are you tempted to just stay sitting in case there's other birds that come along?
Well, maybe it depends on how rare you think the bird is at that point.
Oh.
And then at that point, then you probably pick and choose which ones you want to go, because obviously the ones that win are the ones that get the most rare birds.
Right.
But I guess, I don't know, understand how... Because everybody else can notice these things, too. Obviously, if you're all sitting in a circle... So, I don't know. This is why it's my favorite one, because it's the silliest one.
Can you look around, or do you have to face a certain direction? Is that why you're sitting in a circle?
No, you can probably look around. I mean, you can probably sit there and, like, look around in your general 180-degree area.
He's looking around.
Area.
Just your peripheral.
Just your peripheral vision.
Like, Dylan was actually twirling like a robot.
Yeah, his hands were sticking out like robot arms.
Well, you know, I'm a robot sometimes. I'm like Terminator.
So,
we actually did see you do a robot this past weekend. Do you remember dancing it up doing the robot?
No,
you were busting out a good robot.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, that was
that was a pretty sweet robot. Yeah. I hadn't seen that good of a robot since the 80s.
Well, what can you do, child of the 80s over here? One thing I can do is the robot.
And it was to the tunes of the village the village people, not village boys.
The village boys, before they became the village people. Before they added that female member. But, so, segue from Big Year. Let's do a weird fact of the week. Mine is, Steve Martin is actually a bird watcher himself.
Is he really?
Wow,
exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think that's probably had a lot to... I bet you anything he produced this movie.
Oh, probably.
You know? Because he probably just loved this book. But some other notable celebrities that are bird watchers.
I'm ready. I'm here. Let's hear it.
President Jimmy Carter.
Figures.
Fidel Castro.
Fidel Castro.
Yeah.
Wow.
Big bird watcher.
Bird, huh?
Agatha Christie. Ian Fleming, who wrote James Bond.
Is James Bond a birder, too?
I don't know. I don't think that ever came up.
The character of James Bond?
Yeah.
I mean, he carried a gun. I don't know if he could... technically be a bird watcher.
Oh, he could totally be a birder.
Jonathan Franzen, Teddy Roosevelt, and some guy from Glee.
Some guy from Glee has to be on there.
Yeah, pretty much any list of celebrities is going to have somebody from Glee.
That's just the way that it's always going
to
work.
So that's my word fact of the week. Just some random celebrities who enjoy watching birds.
That's cool.
Dylan, do you have a weird fact of the week?
My weird thing would have been talking about the 2,500 people traveling to Kent.
Oh, well, talk more about that. Did we go over the whole thing?
Well, we already went over that. But I found this explanation of why you'd want to become a bird that I thought was kind of funny. It says you become one because it provides you with your own private animal reality show. You'll quickly find yourself involved in the bird family pecking order. Who's dominant? Who's selfish? Who's nurturing? Who's a bully? They'll start to recognize distinct personalities, and those among us with slight psychological problems will start to name them.
Who wrote that?
I don't know. Someone there wrote a list of 8 reasons of why you'd become a birder, and they wrote it in Comic Sans, so that also makes it pretty legit.
And amazing. You printed it
in Comic Sans, because that's what I copied and pasted it at.
It's in Comic Sans.
Porter, please tell me you have a weird fact of the week.
I got a weird fact. This is actually kind of a downer fact, but it's a little strange, but it's also... we're gonna go into it, okay? So we all met in advertising school, and so actually I read that Leo Burnett, like a famous advertising mongol, is it
it's mongol.
Mongol?
It's mongrel.
Mongrel?
No, it's mogul.
Mogul. Okay. Almost blew it. But so his daughter, actually, this girl named Phoebe Snitzinger, she was a birder.
Oh. Cool.
And so she actually had she got diagnosed with terminal cancer, melanoma, and she was a birder, and she actually had so she ended up going on a trip. She ended up going on like elaborate trips before when she was diagnosed with cancer to go look at birds and everything, and she actually got up to 8,400 birds on her list. So it was a lot. And then she was actually in Madagascar on a birding trip when she just got back. She just got really good news about her cancer. She was in remission, and then she went to Madagascar on a birding trip, and she actually died in a car wreck.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
Yeah. So,
So did you find out, like, is there a record holder for having seen the most birds?
I kept looking for that.
Because that sounds like a lot.
8,400 is a hell of a lot.
8,400 was the most, was the most up until her time, her death, which I believe was in, like, 1999.
So she held the record at that time.
Like, the known record, okay. Yeah. So, yeah.
That's amazing.
How many pages of that list be? Like a million?
That's quite a notepad.
How big is the font?
That's also a good question.
But yeah, good weird fact.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Sorry to bring a downer.
No, it's okay. It was very interesting.
Kind of ties in.
I enjoyed
a couple things.
So let's get to it, guys. Would you be a birder? Would you hobby hard as a bird watcher? Porter.
I don't think I would hobby hard as a bird watcher. I might do it, like, amateur. Just get, like, a bird bath and some, you know, food and everything. And
start
just
naming
have it,
the birds?
Just have it out there. Maybe name the birds. But, yeah, just do it just, you know, my house, my backyard. But I don't think I really get into this to, Hey, Scruffy, what you doing over here?
What kind of bird would be named Scruffy?
Yeah, what is this?
I don't know.
Like
a robin.
A ruffled peacock?
Sure, a peacock. I don't know.
It's like, hey, there's
like a
hey,
baby
bird.
Well, a pigeon probably. A pigeon would probably be
scruffy. Just a ruffled pigeon.
Well, they're always, they are always ruffled and malting, right? That's
malting.
They're malting, whatever. I don't know.
But yeah, I don't think I could hobby hard on this. It sounds really cool to be able to travel to different places and see different things.
Yeah, traveling is a big part of it.
Yeah. But I don't know if I can get
into
like the birds. Just, I don't know.
So you're a no?
I'm a no.
All right, I am a big yes. You probably could have guessed that.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, it's been hard to avoid all my life with my dad pressuring me, but I think I'm going to give in eventually, and I can definitely feel myself being pulled towards this hobby. I think I'm going to become an all-out birder one of these days, if not already.
Well, I hope your dad gives you some binoculars for Christmas so that you can become one.
I think he might.
I'm going to make sure that I'm going to make sure
my
that
Christmas
knows.
List.
Yeah.
Or my life list.
Christmas list.
And a life list. You need it for to get the binoculars.
I do need to make a life list, guys.
Yeah.
Will you help me make that?
Let's do that.
Okay.
After this.
Yeah.
Flamingo's obviously number one.
We'll post our life list to Twitter.
Yeah, good idea.
We have a Twitter account.
We have a Twitter account.
We'll get into that at the end. But Dylan, what's your vote?
I like the traveling aspect of it. I don't particularly care for the idea of walking around for endlessly to try to find birds. it's not something that I'm too interested in. See them in nature, great, whatever. Otherwise, okay. No, I'm not really all that into this, sadly.
The nays have it.
The nays have it.
Outnumbered.
Outnumbered. Outnumbered, Tanzina.
It's okay, guys. So, yeah, we have a couple of little announcements. We have a Twitter page now, at Hobby Hard, where you can talk to us on there and maybe suggest topics on crazy hobbies that you have come across or maybe even you participate in. And also, we're really excited because on Podomatic, which is the service we use to host our podcast, frog in my throat, when the last episode dropped, we were at number 16 in the hobby category, and we were up like 32 ranks, so like we went up really fast. We're down again to like 32, but I think we'll go back up once we've had a new episode.
Okay.
So whoever you are, thanks for listening, and talk to us because we want to hear from you. Also, you can subscribe to us on iTunes. I don't know if that's how you found us. Maybe you found us just from us posting on Facebook. But you can actually subscribe to us on iTunes for free. Just search Hobby Hard in the iTunes store, and it'll automatically download every time you open the iTunes. So that's what we're doing now.
That's it.
You guys got anything else to say?
We got the email account.
Yeah, you can email us at hobbyhard@gmail.com if you just want to, like, share your feelings with us.
Yeah, just anything.
Not about hobbies, just, like, your intimate...
secret feelings.
Your secret intimate feelings.
We had a good round of secret feelings this past weekend.
We should have looked at Twitter for our update on the secret feelings tournament that we had going on.
Was it a success? Yes.
And let us know how your secret feelings tournaments are going. Anyway, I'm Sam Zena.
Sam Porter.
Dylan Heimbrock.
This is Hobby Hard. Thanks, bye.